And welcome again to Cottage Talk. I'm Russ Goldman, and co-hosting with me today will be Mike Gregg. In this episode, we'll be previewing the Ipswich Town match for Fulham at Craven Cottage on Tuesday night. We'll also be discussing some Fulham news, and we have to discuss a topic in the Cottage Talk Roundtable. This will be a shortened show, but I look forward to doing this preview show with my co-host, Mr. Mike Gregg. I'm going to bring him on right now. Mike, how you doing, my friend?
Yeah, hi, Russ. Good. Just made it back from Motspur Park, so in time for the show, and looking forward to doing it.
Listen, I'm looking forward to doing this with you. Like I mentioned, this will be a shortened show. We're just going to get right to it. But before we get going and talk about some Fulham news, just share with me your overall thoughts on the FA Youth Cup match that you just went to. You saw a Fulham victory. So just summarize it for us.
We won 4-2. It was a really good first half. We were all over them, and a really good free kick from Humphreys as well. And it was a promising game. Second half, Berry got back into it, and we went 4-0 up, and they got two goals quite quickly. So it was a little bit worrying for a moment, but that's a Fulham team for you. Del Toro played well, and Humphreys did. Yeah, it was a good performance, and there was a lot of people there as well, and also met our co-host Matt Smith and Heather there at the game, all round good evening, and we're in for the fourth round, and let's see how far they can go this year.
That's great, and you know what, Mike? I like following the under-18s, the academy teams, and of course the under-21s, and what I'd really like to do, and we've talked about this, I actually want to do a show specifically about these teams, if you're up for it sometime.
Yeah, I think it'd be best probably to do one in the new year, and once we know where everyone is, back from loan, those kind of things, and we'll go through the players sort of bubbling under the first team.
Absolutely. I look forward to doing that with you. All right. Like I mentioned, we have some Fulham news, and we'll get to that, and then, of course, then we'll get to the preview. And let's start here, because James Husband has returned to Middlesbrough from his loan with Fulham. What are your overall thoughts of his time, his second time around with Fulham, and do you think we might see him again?
Well, I thought, he came in sort of as second choice after Garbutt's injury, but we knew what he could do, and apart from a couple of rash challenges and reactions to bad tackles, those type of things, overall he's had a good second spell with us, and he's shown that he can defend, but his best abilities is getting forward, and I think most of us would be very happy to see him come back in January. He's intimated that he likes it at the club. And I would hope there's some kind of deal to be done. I doubt it'd be a permanent one, but a loan to the end of the season and then reassess it. Because we need a permanent left-back going forward into next season as well. You've got to plan ahead, and Husband fits that bill.
He totally does. That's why, like you, Mike, I actually hope that maybe that they can have another loan deal to the end of the season. After January, and we can get him back here, because I think he fits what Fulham are doing right now. It'll be great eventually, maybe summertime, that he becomes a full-time Fulham player at left back. I think the club fits him, and I think he fits the club. So knock on wood. Let's hope that happens in the future. That's why I'm not done yet with James Husband. I just got this sneaking suspicion we're not done with him yet. I guess we'll have to see how it all plays out. But just wanted to mention to start off that he is back with Middlesbrough, and we'll see what happens after that. All right, Mike, let's move on. Another item that I wanted to discuss with you, because I saw some reports on this. I want to say I saw it earlier today regarding Adam Taggart, who was out on loan with Dundee United in Scotland. Again, nothing official from the club, but reports coming out of Scotland is that he's back with Fulham now after he finished up his loan. What are your thoughts about Taggart? Do you think we'll actually now see him play with Fulham?
Well, it looks like Dundee United have terminated his loan and someone else's loan as well. And he's only made about eight appearances, hasn't scored by the looks of it. And so maybe the club, Dundee, and maybe Adam has decided, you know, it's best for him to come back. Hasn't quite worked out for him there. And he gives us another option. And at least he's fit, by all accounts. And he's never been that from day one since joining us. And he will give us another option, a different kind of player. And, you know, when you look at Smith and Woodrow, then Bealey and McCormick, there's a lot of games coming up as well. And having that fifth-choice striker and with different people in charge of the club, maybe it's a chance for Taggart to stake a claim and at least get on the bench. And let's hope we can see him, because I do think he has something to offer.
I agree, Mike. You know, again, I only saw him in the preseason, but I thought, you know what? He might be something, a different type of player that we could use at some point. So I hope he gets an opportunity, you know, again, soon. You know, again, like you said, off the bench, maybe we see him. And let's see what he can offer us, because, you know, we could use another striker. I say use him in certain situations and see if he could be helpful to us. You know, again, I have no problem with seeing Adam Taggart at some point. I've been waiting for 2 years. Again, last year was injury riddled for him, but maybe we will now see him. All right, Mike, I stand corrected. I mentioned that we had one item in the Cars Talk Roundtable. We actually have two. And it's funny because, again, this kind of goes with our discussion talking about James' husband, because, again, I've been going back and forth on this, and I mentioned this to Giannis. We talked about it on the post-match show. Again, first item in Cars Talk Roundtable involves Tim Ream. Should Stuart Gray consider moving Tim Ream to left back on a regular basis? Now, I know Luke Garbutt's there, but I go back and forth. What is his best position, Mike? I'm curious your thoughts on this.
Yeah, it's, I think after last week at Forest and the game at home the other day, there's some question marks about him now. There's no one doubts that he's a good footballer. You know, with the ball at his feet, he can, you know, trick a forward. He can make runs, and he can pass it well. He didn't do that well Saturday, but he can pass it. But it's his heading, attacking the ball. He's failing there. And so, again, you look at the strength of the squad. It looks as if his best position is left side of a back three, you know, of a,
right,
a central three. I think he would be a good, solid left back. He wouldn't be someone who's going to rampage down the wing. So if you're playing a team where you know your fullbacks are not going to be getting forward that much, and it's going to be, you know, it could be something like tomorrow, isn't it? You know, we're expecting a direct game tomorrow.
That's right.
And you want a much more defensive back four, then, yeah, I think he could play at left back. He reminds me, and I think I tweeted to you, he reminds me of Bocanegra.
Right.
In the sense that he's joined us as a left back. Joined us as a centre back. Bocanegra ended up playing a lot of his games at left back and actually was quite a decent defensive midfielder when he played there a few times. So it's a case of finding Ream's best position. I think for the US men's team, does he tend to play left back more?
He does. He starts, well, I shouldn't say he starts. He has come off the bench, but he's been starting a good amount of games recently, Mike, at left back. And it's just because they have a good amount of young players at center back, so they've moved him to the left. And it's funny because I go back to when he came to Fulham, and the Bolton supporters that I know were all telling me, you know, the issue with him was finding the best position for him, because he played mostly as a left back for them. So that's why I'm bringing this up. But I like where you're going on this. Maybe in certain situations, against a certain opponent, you have him at left back, and maybe in other situations, maybe when you, if for some reason Stuart Gray decides to go three in the back, which I'd like to see him do, then he is on that left side of that back three.
Yeah, I mean, my first option with him would be, well, you know my views on the formation. It should be a back three.
Yes, I do.
He should be on the left side of it. And, yeah, if there's situations where we're playing against a very direct team, maybe with, you know, and they're getting the ball forward a lot and we want to be a bit more defensive, then maybe he's a better option at left back. But there is, we're lacking that defensive midfielder with Matilla injured and maybe Parker and O'Hara, and neither of them can do it. And I think his actual ball-playing ability might suit him there, but, you know, I don't think they're going to make that kind of positional change for him. So, it's a difficult one. He's had a couple of bad games, really, at times, and we're still conceding from corners. And, you know, he's one of our main two centre-backs, and he should be helping there and dealing with it. And you watched the goal on Saturday.
Yes, I saw.
In the corner, and he's not anywhere, really, is he? So he needs to up his game a bit, definitely. But I think the formation isn't helping him, because I don't think he's best as a natural back two centre-backs.
Okay, great. That's, you know, again, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up, Mike, because that's going to lead me to another discussion. And it's something that I talked to Giannis about, and something that has frustrated me. And it does go along with us discussing the formation, because I agree with you. I want to see Fulham play much more with a back three, because I think it suits everyone better. It slots everyone in. It suits the talent that we have. And that's going to lead me to ask you this, because I go back and forth with this with other people talking about, well, who should be your starting 11? Should it be the most talented starting 11? You know, you need this player on there because he's talented, but he's out of position. So I'm going to ask you, just really, because I'm curious, would you rather have your most talented starting 11 on the pitch with some players playing out of position, or not having your most talented team, but each player is playing at their natural position as a starting 11? Which would you go for?
Well, that's a tricky one, because sometimes it can depend on the player. You can have some really talented players who can play anywhere, and then there's others who, you know, they're just fish out of water if you stick them out on the wing and ask them to do certain stuff. So let's take McCormick, for example. I've been very critical of the fact that he drops deep. But he is someone who can play up front, and he can play on the wing.
Right.
And so if you played him in a 4-4-2 and you stuck him on left wing, it's not great, but he would be, you know, he could do a job there. But someone like Kearney, it goes back to Ream as well. We've now seen all these players for, you know, a dozen or more games, and you start to learn what they can and can't do. And so Kearney, for example, I think we're all agreed, is wasted on the wing.
Totally.
You know, you want him to be playing, but another part of you, if we had two natural wingers who attacked fullbacks, you know, do you just play Kearney because he's one of the best players? Or do you try and fit him in a midfield three? So it's a tricky one. I mean, we fell into that trap with Ruiz.
Right.
You know, trying to fit him in wherever we could, and to the detriment of the team, I believe. You know, I mean, he had his assets and he had to be played in a certain position. So I've always been, it's a team game. It's not an individual game. And I'm also one of these, if one of your star players is off form, you know, sometimes they need to be dropped. And, you know, other players should get a chance. But at the moment, I would say there's, you know, you've got McCormick, you've got Kearney, they're pretty untouchable. But I would say the rest of the team, you know, is open for discussion, really. You know, even people like Dembele or O'Hara and that. But those two are the best players, and they can fit in the team. But you have to look at the squad. What fits us? We would not suit one player would, but the rest of the squad, I don't think, would suit complete direct football. So, you know, there'd be no point playing 4-2-4 and just playing Woodrow and Dembele up front, because that just wouldn't work. You know, you're
right.
Hitting the ball long, you want to have Smith playing. So, yeah, it is a tricky one. Again, going back, you know, England used to fall into that. Lampard, I've got Lampard on TV on Monday Night Football at the moment. Him and Gerrard always had to play.
I remember.
You know, it was Gerrard had to move out. And in the end, no. You know, I think you pick the best team, not the best 11. So it's whatever the plan is for that particular, you know, game, depending on who you're playing. And so, it's a tricky one. It's a tricky one. But
it is.
I don't think any player should have the right of starting every game in a random position, you know, just for the sake of starting them. If we take Cairn, because he is the key one, I suppose, at the moment, I don't think he's very good wide. He will cut in inside, but you lose something. So you want to play him in the midfield three. And then you see people saying, I want to play him in the midfield two. And personally, I'm not keen on him in the midfield two. So, it's a tricky one. But, I'm always one for picking your best team, not necessarily the best 11 individuals.
And I'm right there with you. That's why I wanted to ask that, Mike. And I am thinking about Kearney and Ream and what fits them best. And formation is part of it. And you bring up a great point. Twofold. First of all, let's talk about Ruiz because they would have him on to the detriment of the team, out of position. How often did we see that? I thought that hurtful him on so many occasions because he is just one of your quote-unquote star players, so you have to play him, but he'd be out of position. It just didn't work. You were trying to fit a square peg into a round hole. It just never worked with Ruiz. For whatever reason, it never worked. But then you have the other side, and you said you have players that can play multiple positions, and very good point because the minute you said that, I thought of right away is someone like Chris Baird. Chris Baird, you could play in several different positions. So if you needed someone to fit into a hole, to a round hole into a round peg, I mean that's Chris Baird. You could put him in several different positions. But for me, this all goes back to our discussion, Mike, about Kearney. Kearney, I feel, is wasted on the wing. I could also say the same thing about Lasse Vigen Christensen. So that does leave you with a problem because not everyone can play. You have to find the right players to fit the right system and play as a team, not the most talented team. I'm glad that you brought up the situation with Gerrard and Lampard because I think, again, that to me is kind of what we're talking about. But for me, I agree with you, Mike. It really is about a team effort.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And, Ruiz, we saw him play right wing, left wing, up front in midfield. And I think everyone agreed his best position was behind a striker or even behind two strikers. So
right.
You stick him out wide, he was never going to beat a man. So
wasted.
That gives that fullback a bit of an easier game. So, Baird is a utility man. I wouldn't say he was the star man. So, he would get dropped. He would be on the subs bench. But you could trust him. He's the kind of player who you ask him to play up front and he'd probably give it a good go. It's one of the things that does annoy me. A lot of Sunday footballers or Saturday footballers. I mean, myself, I've played in every position bar goalkeeper, really. And, it annoys me a bit sometimes when I see professional footballers and they're asked to play out of position and they just haven't got a clue what they're doing. I mean, they're the professionals. They're the ones doing it every day in training, listening to what other players should be doing. They should be more intelligent players, and there isn't. And that goes back to coaching, and we could do a whole show on that about how when you're 10 or 11 years old, you're picked to play at centre-back and that's it. You're stuck there for the rest of your life. And that's not the show for tonight. But, it's an interesting point to raise. And we just want to get the best out of the players we have. You want Fredericks,
right.
He's not a right-back. He's a wing-back. So is he wasted playing at right-back when you play a 4-4-2? Because he's not going to get forward. Whereas Richards is probably the better of the two to do that. But at any time Fredericks is available, we should play as wing-backs. Absolutely no doubt.
Right, Mike. And that's my point. That's why I thought this would be an interesting discussion with you. Because we have several players that fit what I would say certain situations. Certain matches, certain opponents. If you're going to set up a certain way, like you said, Ryan Fredericks should be playing this position. Tim Ream should be playing this position, and Kearney should be central. Certain opponents, you line up a certain way, it does become a little, you're trying to find your best team to play against your opponent. And I get frustrated we use a term here in America for the NHL. When you have a player that's out there and he's wasted, we call him a passenger because he's just a passenger. He's not really doing anything. And we have that sometimes with Fulham, and it's not the player's fault. I just think, honestly, I think the player is playing out of position. I think we've seen that way too many times. And that's why I wanted to talk about this. And I thought on a future show, we could do an entire show just talking about, you know, what would be your starting 11, you know, and we could go through different formations. I thought that would be fun and play around with that. So maybe we can do a special episode just talking about the team, breaking it down into what we would do in certain situations. But like I said, maybe we can do a special show on that. But let's get into this preview, Mike, and let's start here. Let's look at this match tomorrow. Again, listen, this is a tough opponent. I watched enough video today, and I know the history of this team to know that this is going to be a really tough game. And let's start here. I just want to get your thoughts quickly on their manager, Mick McCarthy. The best way to describe me thinking about him is that you know what you're going to get from Mick. So share with me what you think we're going to get tomorrow from a Mick McCarthy-led team.
Well, you're going to get a team that's organized. They will work hard. They will be physical as well. Not overly physical, but, you know, they will play the game at a certain tempo and a certain style. And the style also is to get the ball forward, you know, as quickly as possible. So we're going to see, you know, their defenders getting the ball forward to their forwards through the air, shall we say. But I think what you have to say about McCarthy is whatever your personal thoughts on that style is, he's done a remarkable job at Ipswich. You know, he's hardly spent a penny. And, you know, he's built a team which is challenging the playoff positions last year. And, you know, they're doing well again this year. And he's getting the absolute maximum he can out of that team. Now, I know he was linked with us a little bit last year when Simons was caretaker. Not so much this year. Maybe that's completely passed by. But, yeah, you just know, you know, from when he was manager at Wolves, what his teams are like. And if you're not up for it, if we're not up for it tomorrow, you know, it's going to be a bad home game for us. And we need to be straight in within the first minute or two, show them that we're going to match them for all their physicality and desire to win the ball. And that's what, you know, he demands that of his players. And we need to match it, absolutely. Otherwise, you know, we're going to be on the end of a loss. I can see it. So tough night tomorrow against them.
Like I said, this is a tough opponent because I'm going to read you some information about them from WhoScored.com. It's basically going to describe his style, and it's going to back up pretty much everything that you just said, Mike. For me, tomorrow, it's about intensity and matching that and matching their physicality because they're going to be physical. There's no question about that. So, again, without further ado, I'm just going to share some information with you, and then we'll go further into the preview. Again, let's start with where they are on the table. They have 8 victories, 7 draws, 5 losses. They've scored 29. They've only given up 27. They're on a +2 goal differential. They're on 31 points, and they are currently 6th. Fulham are 17th. We have 5 wins, 8 draws, 7 losses. We've scored 33, but we've given up 35 for a -2 goal differential, and we're on 23 points. When I looked at Ipswich Town, 11 times this year they played the 4-4-2, and 8 times they played 4-3-3, but more often than not, I guess I can say more than 50% of the time, they do play 4-4-2, and that really is a good formation for Mick McCarthy. Their strengths, again, this is all according to WhoScored.com, very strong at aerial duels, finishing scoring chances, attacking down the wings, creating scoring chances, they're all strong there. Their weaknesses, they're weak here, keeping possession of the ball, defending against long shots, defending against through ball attacks, defending against skillful players, protecting the lead. They're very weak at defending counterattacks. It's something to look at for tomorrow. Their style, control the game in the opposition's half, attacking down the left, long balls, shocker, and play the offside trap. Their leading goal scorers are 2 forwards, Daryl Murphy, with 6 goals, and Brett Pittman, who's coming on very strong lately, also with 6 goals. Other players to watch coming back is Kevin Brew, who's a midfielder. I believe he was out for a little bit of time. He is back. Christoph Barrett is a center back that we all might remember from, I want to say, from the Barclays Premier League. I do remember. I can't remember what team off the top of my head, but I do remember seeing him play. So those are some players to look out for, Mike. So that's just to give you a little background on them. Does that basically fit the bill of describing Mick McCarthy's team?
Yeah, it's exactly, and Gray is going to have a decision tomorrow on to whether to try and match him up, the big lad. So, you know, there might be looking at Byrne, you might be looking at Smith, possibly, and even a change in formation to our favoured three centre-backs. I think you really have to consider this. I can certainly see Hutchinson or Byrne coming into the team tomorrow.
Right.
And even if he gets a flat back four, I could give you an argument for playing Ream at left back and then bringing in Byrne or Hutchinson next to Stearman, because then that would give you, you know, while Ream might not win the headers, physically he's a stronger player than Garber is.
No, that's a good point, Mike. That's actually a very good point. This is going to be interesting to see what Stuart Gray does against this team. Because again, when I was looking at the video today, and I watched several videos, it was basically watching the same video over and over again, because they basically do the same stuff. And I remember Daryl Murphy from last year, really hurtful, especially at Craven Cottage, and doesn't take much to get the ball up to him, and then he just turns and scores. And same thing with Pittman. These are just goal scorers. They find ways to score goals. I wouldn't say that they're the most skillful goal scorers, but they find a way to score. That's just the best way to put it. They're gritty players, and they're tough. And this is, it's really the style of Mick McCarthy. All right, Mike, we're already talking about it. You know, again, who would be your key players? Would it be the center backs tomorrow?
Just to go back as well on what's required tomorrow, it's second
yep.
ball with Ipswich, that, you know, they're the ones who are going to be, you know, straight in there, and like I say, we have to match that. So I was speaking to someone the other day following the game about how slow we were challenging for the ball, and we can't be that tomorrow. We have to be straight in. But yeah, it's talking about what Gray might do tomorrow, what sort of changes. I would be surprised if he doesn't go to three centre-backs, considering how they play. They play with two proper forwards up front, unlike most teams now.
Right.
And so I would definitely go in with the extra centre-back and give us the three central midfielders, and, with McCormick and then Bealey up top as well. So, yeah, I think we're going to see question on who you're going to take out. I think it would be a toss the coin between, Fredericks. And if Fredericks is fit, you've got to play him as the wing back, that's for sure. And, I would take Ashley Richards out. And midfielders, you're going to have Kearney and O'Hara. And Parker, I suppose. And, I would bring in Byrne. Hutchinson did well the other week when he sat in between Ream and Stearman. So it's a question, you could really spin a coin. I mean, as we know, Fulham fans are split on Hutchinson and Byrne. Some like one and some like the other. It's almost down the middle.
Right.
My preference would be Byrne.
Okay,
and,
it's funny because while you were saying that, I was just thinking about how well recently Sean Hutchinson has dealt with balls in the box. You know, again, whenever we've seen him, he's done a very good job. But Fulham fans are split. I it's funny, Mike. I think I might lean towards Sean Hutchinson just again because he's already shown the knack even recently to be able to deal with balls in the box fairly well.
Yeah, it's a It's a different, you know, Byrne obviously gives you the extra height. Hutchison is a bit quicker on the ground.
Right.
So,
maybe a little bit more active, Mike. You know, again, nothing against Dan. I think he's a little quicker, maybe.
Hutchison's definitely quicker. Yeah, he is definitely quicker. And he can almost be a sweeper, if you like, more than Byrne would be in the centre there. So that would make sense. But on personal preference, yes, I would prefer Byrne. So, yeah.
Okay.
You would take, well, just for his heading ability, you know, and again, with the issue of corners. And we have a decent record, you know, with Byrne when he actually starts a game. I think we may have only lost one when he started a game. So that's partly why I would go with him. And so I wouldn't make any, you know, it's just either Richards or Fredericks out to allow the extra centre-back to come in. And I would go with that tomorrow. I don't think we need to, you know, look at bringing in Kaká or Woodrow. There is an argument for Smith, but then do you drop one of the forwards, you know, the two of the the best partnership in the league? Do you split them up and move McCormick back? But then, you know, that makes you weaker there, I think. So, that's the only change I would make. And it'd be interesting to see what Gray does. We'll learn a lot from what Gray does tomorrow. You know, has he looked at previous games, realised that's the way to get the best out of people like Kearney? And that's key for us. You know, Kearney is that final pass player, and he out wide, it just doesn't work for him.
I totally agree, Mike. That's why, you know, again, I just think that the formation that you're talking about and the players you're talking about, I think it fits, especially against this opponent. I think it matches up fairly well. That's why it'll be interesting to see if this is what he goes with. I hope he does, because I think that gives us a decent chance to get something out of this match. Listen, this is going to be a difficult opponent, and every time that you're talking and talking about how physical they are, I would also say, you know, again, just the intensity. You got to match their intensity. And that's what I noticed watching the video, is that this team is going real quick, go real fast. You know, there might be long balls, but they're moving. And we cannot be slow to the ball, like you were talking before, you know. And let me ask you, because I was talking to Giannis about this and also talking to others about this. I do like Scott Parker, and I think Scott Parker still has a role in Fulham Football Club. But let me ask you, your thoughts, playing Jamie O'Hara and Scott Parker together, does it work? Would it work in a three-man midfield? Do you think that situation it could work?
Yeah, I'm okay with them in a three, and for a game like tomorrow, they're going to need somebody else out in the middle as well. So, you know, maybe have Parker sitting a bit deeper, O'Hara and Kearney, you know, just in front of him, or even two really deep ones. But in a 4-4-2 with those two in the middle, there's not enough mobility. It's too slow, and.
Yeah.
And so we'd be lacking if we go 4-4-2 tomorrow with those two in the middle. That I think that will be a mistake.
I agree.
But we are weak in that area at the moment. You know, with Matilla injured, LVC injured, Tunnicliffe out until February. You know, we saw on Saturday that Heidman was the only real central midfield sub we have, and then with the last 5 minutes of the game, we had Kaká playing in central midfield as it was all guns blazing. But, I certainly expect those two to start. My only hope is that, we get Kearney in the middle as well to give him a bit more flair and let the other two just mop up a little bit behind him.
Before we go into predictions, Mike, because, again, you know, I haven't talked to you about this, and you already mentioned, so I just want to get your thoughts, because, yes, Ryan Tunnicliffe could be out for up to 3 months, which is a very long time, and let's wish him a speedy recovery. I think myself and possibly others, didn't give him enough credit, because I think we're feeling the effects of not having him in there, Mike. I think he's a major loss to Fulham right now.
Yes, he is. I mean, he's he's the one player who is given a, you know, I've missed one live game this year, and he's the one player who gives 100% every game. He'll run for the lost cause, he'll chase the ball down. You can see the frustration on his face, but he keeps working hard. He's stopped all the little Pele tricks that he was trying. He's does the basics now, and that's what I always wanted him to do. And he certainly won me over. And, yeah, I hope he recovers. I think it's from a ruptured hamstring or something. But
right.
Hopefully he'll be back, you know, towards the end of February. But we certainly are lacking his physical presence, because, and he's injured, you know, he will get up, he will, you know, from box to box, he'll be in the box trying to score a goal, and then, you know, he'll be working his way back, you know, to stop one in our end, you know, at our end. So yeah, we're definitely missing something there, and it's such a pity that LVC is injured, and because he's obviously the natural replacement for him, in his right position as well, and not being shunted out on the wing. So it's just bad timing for everyone at the moment.
It is. And, you know, because I was thinking about without him in there, you know, I think I took him for granted, you know, what he offered. And you just said all that grit, that commitment that he gave really was needed and has been a huge help so far in the season. So without him, you know, they have to find another way. And, you know, like you said, it's going to be interesting to see how they do without him. That's the situation we're in. Like you said, LVC is injured, and that's a problem in itself. And when he does come back, Mike, again, talking about square pegs and round holes, he needs to be central. And again, if he doesn't play every match, he doesn't play every match. But again, you know, play him where he's going to be most effective. That's what I want to see. That's just my philosophy. All right, Mike, before I get your prediction, just want to share this, because I put this a couple of hours ago on the Cottage Talk Twitter page asking for a prediction. And I had 105 votes, so a decent amount of votes here for win, draw, and loss. What would Fulham do? And very interesting results here. Win, 41%. Draw, 23%. Loss was 36%, Mike. So kind of almost split there.
Yeah, and that's your typical Fulham fan view, I think. We just don't know what we're going to see tomorrow, isn't it? You know, it could be a win,
right.
Could be a draw, could be a loss. We need a win, absolutely, no doubt about it. Need a win just to get a few more points away from the bottom and hopefully closer to teams like Ipswich. You know, I mean, they're six, they've got 31 points. You know, the five above them are the ones who are breaking away. So, you know, we need to start clawing some points back and moving up the table just to give us some breathing space, really, and a bit of a chance to relax. But, I'm fairly confident for tomorrow. I think we're going to win 2-1.
Wow.
We're due, and, you know, I think Dembele and McCormick really have a good partnership going now. And I think Gray would have had another couple of days working on what he wants them to do. And if we do see a couple of changes, you know, like, you know, whatever team he puts out, I think they will deliver tomorrow. And hopefully the fans, you know, can be there in their numbers and get right behind them from the beginning. The problem the other day was it was very tense. We're still not happy with what's going on managerial-wise, but we need to forget that and just cheer the team on. And I think Gray won a lot of people over with his substitutions at the end of Saturday, and I think that's given a lot of people some optimism that he's not the dour defensive person we were expecting.
Well, let me ask you again before we wrap up the show, because Giannis and I talked about this. I was surprised by the substitutions, Mike. When you saw them, were you pleasantly? I'm assuming you were pleasantly surprised by his substitutions and what he did. You know, because I saw you tweet the last 10 minutes was all Fulham.
Yeah, well, it was. I mean, I wouldn't say I was totally sold on Woodrow going out on the wing and and Kaká in midfield, but you know, he was obviously going for it, and
going for it, yeah.
You know, he has to be praised for that. And, you know, because we've seen other managers too, yeah, they would have brought in another midfielder and gone a bit safe. And that's what I was expecting when I saw the players warming up. But, no, it's promising. And it was good to see Kaká and Woodrow out there, you know, because I still have faith in both those players. And I still think they've got something they can offer. And, you know, so who knows? We might even see them start, or one of them starts more possibly. We've got a lot of games coming up. We can't keep going with the same 11, but, you know, so I think all the squad are going to get, you know, games this week and then over the Christmas and New Year period.
Okay, great stuff, Mike. All right, to wrap up, I'll give my prediction. And normally I'm pretty positive. I'm going to let you be the positive one. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. You know, I'm going to play it safe. I can't believe it. I'm going to be the one playing it safe. But I'm going to play it safe, and I'm going to say a 1-1 draw. I definitely think we can get something out of this match. You know, this opponent is very similar to the team it was last year. You know, I thought that we should have at least beaten them once or gotten something against them, and I still feel the same way with a more talented team, a better team. So there's no reason why we can't get something out of it. And, Mike, I hope you're right. And before we go, I'll just leave you with this. I was trying to think of how I could describe you, and you're basically, to this show, you're the Matt Harvey of Cottage Talk. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does a bit, yeah. I sort of understand that.
No one else is going to understand that, but I knew you would understand that.
Yeah, I get that. No, but, I enjoy the show. We all get some good feedback, and I know the numbers have been very good.
They have.
Recently for some of them. And, you know, there's a lot of listeners out there who enjoy these shows, listening to them on their iPods or whatever. But, yeah, no, it's just good. We, you know, we all support the same team. We all like talking about it. And, you know, sometimes we get the predictions wrong. Well, most of the time, let's be honest. But the main thing is, you know, we all support Fulham and we all want the best. And it's interesting, whatever you think about what's going on, it's a very interesting time at the moment with the club and what's going on with the manager's search and various other bits and pieces with Khan, etc. And let's hope that those in charge are going to be making the right decisions shortly.
I hear you, Mike. And listen, the last thing I could say about Fulham right now, they're certainly not boring, meaning that there's certainly so much going on that can keep us talking. Like I said, I could do several shows this week if I wanted to, just because there's so much really to discuss, and that's what's great about doing this. Like you said, we're all Fulham supporters. We all have different opinions, and it's really wonderful. And listen, I was just trying to give you a compliment. I know you know the Matt Harvey thing. You might be the only one that knows who he is. Well, not the only one, but you know what I mean. I just appreciate you doing it with me. You're basically a starting pitcher. That's the best way to put it. In baseball, you're just someone that gets it done. So, Mike, thank you as always. Last minute for joining me tonight. I really appreciate it.
Okay, no problems, Russ. And hopefully whoever does the post-show with you will be talking about a nice, good win for us and taking us forward to the Bolton game.
I certainly hope so, and that will be Mr. David Hulley. He will be doing the post-match show. We're going to be doing a special time. David and I will be doing it, and hopefully, we'll be talking about a Fulham victory. All right, Mike, let's wrap up this show. For Mike Gregg, I'm Russ Coleman. Thank you, as always, for listening to Cottage Talk. Cheers, Mike. Have a great night.
And you, Russ. Cheers. Thanks.
Boys and girls, London calls.